You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. And I don't know what that big spate of static was just then, folks, but whatever it was, I apologize if it hurt your ears. It certainly hurt mine with these headphones on. I don't know if we may be having some equipment problems around here. Things just aren't working like they're supposed to be. So I guess we're going to have to check everything out and spend some money and take some of this equipment down to be professionally serviced, whatever that means. Well, we were supposed to have a guest tonight, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, but the guest never called. So, as usual, I go to Plan B. Plan B is extremely interesting, anyway. Over 5 months ago, ladies and gentlemen, well, let me start another way. If you remember, as I do, when Tim McVeigh was arrested, they said that he was stopped by an Oklahoma highway patrolman for not having, well, first he was speeding, and then when he was stopped, the highway patrolman noticed he didn't have a license plate. Now, these are ticketable offenses. He had a driver's license. They do not arrest you anywhere that I know of for not having a license plate or for speeding. You get tickets. They justified the arrest by saying that the officer looked in the car and saw a concealed weapon. Well, my first question was, if the weapon was concealed, how did the officer see it by looking in the car? It couldn't have been concealed, number one. They said that the weapon was two different weapons, as a matter of fact. They stated that the weapon was a Beretta pistol on one occasion, and on the other occasion, they said, and this was the news media that said it, that Timothy McVeigh had a shoulder holster with a .45 caliber Glock in it. Another news report, and let me see if I can find it here. Let me see here. Let me read it verbatim to you, because we have all the facts, in chronological order, exact quotes, everything, for every single day, every hour, since the bombing of everybody. That's how thorough our people are. Let me find it here, because I think it's important. Okay, here we go. On April 21st, 1995, investigators learned that a Timothy McVeigh was arrested at 10:30 a.m. on April 19th, 1995 in Perry, Oklahoma, for not having a license tag and for possession of a weapon approximately 1 hour after the detonation of the explosive device. And then, the Noble County Sheriff, Jerry Cook, said McVeigh, when arrested, was wearing a shoulder holster containing a semi-automatic .45 caliber pistol loaded with hollow-point bullets, and also had a hunting knife and a leather sheath. He had a full clip in the pistol and another full clip on him, Cook said. Now, if he had a full clip in the pistol and another clip on him, And Cook said the suspect had been held in the Noble County Jail for possession of a loaded firearm and traffic charges of driving a car without a license tag and failure to have verification of automotive insurance. Now, this is not the truth. None of it is, ladies and gentlemen. Because shortly after McVeigh was arrested, I revealed to you on this broadcast that there was no pistol, there was no loaded weapon, there was no shoulder holster, there were no clips. What they actually found in the automobile was a knife. And it is not illegal to carry a knife in an automobile, concealed or not concealed, makes no difference whatsoever in the state of Oklahoma. That was the truth of the matter, and I made that statement on the air on this broadcast over 5 months ago. Now, they have just released, if I can find it here, some documents. And here's what they released. And this confirms exactly what I told you. Once again, you got the scoop from the hour of the time. Timothy McVeigh's arrest was done on the pretense that he had a concealed weapon, either on his person or in his automobile. He did not have a weapon, and I'm talking about a gun, a pistol, in his car or on his person, period. There was no pistol. And I announced it on this broadcast shortly after his arrest. The news media has been changing it from a 45 to a Glock to a Beretta to all kinds of strange, exotic things, none of which existed. So this means that there's something really funny about Timothy McVeigh's arrest. How could he have been arrested if there was no pistol? If there was no firearm either on his person or in the car, he should have been given a ticket. His car should have been inventoried and then towed away and impounded. Instead, it was left on the highway. Extremely unusual. The whole thing stinks to high heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Now, today, Federal Magistrate Roland Howland has released additional documents pertaining to the Oklahoma City bombing. There were 9 documents unsealed, including several search warrants. The packet of documents is about 150 pages total. And here's what we have. The warrant to search the 1977 Mercury Marquis, which McVeigh was driving when arrested. Federal agents said they were searching the car for explosive material, fuses, nails, screws, types of explosive devices, maps, rental receipts, phone numbers, and chemical formulas. They did not find any of these things. The warrant to search McVeigh's personal property that was taken from him on the day he was arrested, and at the time of his arrest, this is what he had on him, his personal possessions. This is it, folks. At the time of his arrest, McVeigh was wearing dark blue windbreaker, a white t-shirt, black military boots, a blue and white t-shirt, and faded black jeans. His personal possessions at the time of arrest, and this list must include every single thing that he had. Number one, a green wallet, coins, a container of Rolaids, restaurant receipts, gasoline receipts, folding money, a Casio watch, earplugs, credit card receipts, photographs, contents of the photographs unknown, and a knife. Just like I told you, no gun, no shoulder holster, no pistol, no 45, no clips full of ammunition. The warrant to search McVeigh himself, the FBI took 8 samples of hair from McVeigh's head, forearms, and pubic area, and then took a second identical sample set, kept in 2 separate envelopes, and 10 scrapings from under each fingernail. Federal agents said they were searching for residue of bomb material. There was a warrant to search McVeigh's room at the Dreamland Motel in Junction City, Kansas. Federal agents took fibers and hair from the room. Also found was oil, fuel, soil, and grass. The original arrest warrant for John Doe number 1 and the original arrest warrant for John Doe number 2. The order for McVeigh to participate. Can he line up on April 22nd? Five people who believed they had seen McVeigh in the downtown area were brought in. One allegedly identified McVeigh, and there was one other tentative identification. And here's a strange one, ladies and gentlemen. The transcript of a safety briefing held on May 20th between federal authorities and McVeigh's defense team prior to their inspection of the Mura building before the implosion. Now, that's only 8 documents. We don't know what the other one is yet. And we can't figure out why any of these documents were sealed unless they were trying to keep the public from finding out that McVeigh did not have a pistol, either on his person or in the automobile. Period. None. There wasn't any, ladies and gentlemen. So why was he arrested? You see, this whole thing was set up from the beginning. Timothy McVeigh is the Lee Harvey Oswald of the American Reichstag. He's the chump that's going to take the fall. And ladies and gentlemen, if this stuff keeps leaking out to the public, and if our investigation continues to be as successful as it has been, they will kill him just like they killed Lee Harvey Oswald, and that will stop all investigation. Everybody will go home, and they will write the Oklahoma bombing off to a lone lunatic, just like they did the Kennedy assassination in Dallas, Texas. You see, if there was no pistol, if there were no clips full of ammo, there was no reason to arrest Timothy McVeigh. And once again, the facts, when they finally surfaced, proved that the hour of the time was right, was the only one that was right, right from the beginning. We were the only ones that dared print the truth, while everybody else was hemming and hawing and flabberwalking, flapjawing. We gave you the facts, right here, on this broadcast. And it's the only place that you're ever going to get the real facts and stay on target, on track, on the path. Where you will never find yourself chasing your tail or getting caught in the little eddies on the side of the river while the main current rushes by. Love that, but it happens to be the wrong one. You see, that's the one that was for the guest, and the guest didn't call in. So, folks, you get this one instead.
If you want a Jewish doctor, all I'm in trouble if I miss you. If you wanna drive up sand sky, or if you wanna take me for a ride, well, you know you can.
Tonight, folks, we'll take your calls. For those of you who do not know the number, it's 520-337-4578. 520-337-4578. Now, we also know, ladies and gentlemen, that the FBI claimed that the original sketches they released to the press of John Doe number 1 and John Doe number 2 were made from descriptions of witnesses at the truck rental site. We discovered that that was not true. And when they discussed John Doe number 2 with witnesses, they produced color photographs and showed these people the color photographs of John Doe number 2. I commented at the time that these so-called sketches came out that they could not possibly have been sketches. They were, at least the first one, was made directly from a photograph. Now, the reason we know that, folks, is we've talked to people around the country who were contacted by these people, and we know that they were under surveillance, and wherever they went, there was always somebody photographing them. And the testimony of these people who claim to have seen John Doe number 2 in Oklahoma City has confirmed, ladies and gentlemen, that the feds had color photographs of Timothy McVeigh and John Doe number 2. As soon as I announced on the air that the first sketch was made from a photograph, guess what happened? Immediately, the following day, they came out with another sketch that looked more like an artist's sketch and not like a drawing from a photograph. So, apparently, somebody in the federal government, and I would bet a lot of people, are listening to this broadcast quite regularly. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Phil.
Hello. Turn your radio off.
Okay. It's off, guys.
Okay.
Boy, I can't believe I'm the first call to get in tonight. That's great. I've been trying to call you for a while.
Yours was the first ring. It didn't even ring until you called.
Yeah, I got your fax number. You gave the wrong number by mistake. I dialed 337 instead, and you got your fax. But anyway,
Oh, that's what it is. That's right. It's 333-4578. I'm sorry, folks.
Yeah, I left you a message on your answering machine quite a while ago.
Uh-huh.
And about the Kennedy assassination stuff. If anybody, I don't want to destroy any of your business selling videotapes, but if anybody can get any stuff from the Zapruder film off the Communist News Network, they can see a pretty decent shot of, you know, Kennedy and the Secret Service agent pointing that 45 at his head.
Well, be careful now. That's what we thought for years, and that's what I saw in documents while I was with the Naval Intelligence. But when I actually got a copy right off the original Zapruder film, a first-generation 35-millimeter copy, and we blew it up, put it on the computer, and blew it up even more,
yeah,
we found that this film has been tampered with in so many places, which proves that Grodin, you know Grodin?
Sure.
What's his full name?
Robert Grodin.
That's right. Okay, you know who I'm talking about. Robert Grodin, who claims to be the number one photographic expert on the Zapruder film, who's not a photographic expert at all,
yeah,
never had any education in photography or photo analysis or anything else.
All that stuff, yeah.
Lied to Congress. He's been lying to the American people for years.
Yeah.
It clearly shows on that film that sections, whole sections of emulsion have been removed.
Yeah, you can see when you watch any of the Zapruder tape on, you know, whatever they show you on television, you can see, like, sticky parts where it jumps around. Maybe they took sections out.
Well, what I'm referring to are the brilliant white parts. In other words, you've got a section of chrome above the windshield. The sun is hitting it directly.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you can still see detail in the chrome.
Yeah. Yes.
Yet on the black hair and on the faces of the men in the front seat,
yep,
it's completely white. You can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
Yes.
The reflectance on the chrome has to be brighter than the reflectance off the hair. I don't care how much Brill cream they had. I mean, it's just a fact in photography. I have a degree in photography. I know.
Sure.
And so when we blew it up and examined these areas and Kennedy's wounds, if you look at them, you'll also see that they're pure white.
Yes.
And it's impossible. So we blew it up and found out that somebody has very carefully removed the emulsion from the film in the area of Kennedy's wounds when he is shot in the head in the car. And also in what is going on in the front seat, they've even removed portions of the grass over the driver's door sill, portions of the emulsion of the door sill, portions of the emulsion of the driver's shoulder, his arm, the emulsion about 3 or 4 inches above the head of the Agent Kellerman. And that's why everybody thinks there's a reflection on his head. Actually, they've removed the emulsion covering part of his hair, his head, and about 4 inches above his head. And so there's nothing for it to reflect off of. I mean, it's not even his head. It's above in the air.
Right, right. But I don't want to interrupt you, but all I'm trying to tell you is that, you know, stuff that I have in my own video library, I mean, you can see, what's his name, Greer, Bill Greer?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can see him turning around and with that 45 and pointing at Kennedy, and all of a sudden Kennedy's head comes off.
Well, you're not interfering or interrupting. You're giving us a chance to talk about this, which is important. This is the month that was.
As a matter of fact, I don't know, like I said, I left a message for you, and I listed a bunch of other things that I had. In other words, in one of the Life magazines, I don't have it in front of me. I think the title is A Matter of Reasonable Doubt, where they show full still frames, and they show a still frame where Kennedy's head is opening up, and there it is, the shoulder over, you know, the
well, what I'm trying to tell you
is the 45.
What I'm trying to tell you is there is doubt.
Yeah.
You see, if you can't get your hands on a good copy of the film, which most people can never do,
really?
I mean, to get a copy from Time Life, it cost you $5,000. It cost us $16,000 for our copy.
Yes.
And, you know, it was tough to get. It took years to get.
Yes.
But it's the best copy in existence on 35mm film directly off the original. And we've made copies from that on D2 digital, and we've also made videotape, and we've also made film copies and distributed them to safe places, so even if they came and took it, it wouldn't do them any good. But what I'm trying to tell you is what appears to be the pistol in Greer's left hand firing over his right shoulder could be a pistol, but you can't tell it when you blow the film up because someone has erased, has taken and literally removed the emulsion from the skin.
Yes.
What you think is a gun is light shining directly through the film from the projector.
Hmm.
They have removed the emulsion. You can't tell what was in his hand.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
So that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But it proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that there is a conspiracy, that someone's tampered with the film, that Robert Grodin has been lying to the American public for many, many years.
Oh, they wouldn't do that to us.
Oh, hey, don't bet on it. We've also found out that Grodin has serious ties to the Mossad and to some other very serious organizations that if he were who he says he is, he would not have those ties.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever.
Yeah, you know, as on another subject, I have another book in my library.
Let's let somebody else get in here. We haven't had a call-in show for a long time.
Okay, very good. One more thing. You spent a few days going over the Freemasonry and Rosicrucian thing, and
I spent years going over it.
Oh yeah. I thought possibly you were slipping back into trying to educate the sheeple, and
oh no.
You know, I think one thing we should call ourselves 3%ers.
Well, that's a good name. No, what I'm talking about now is so far above the intellect or the not the intellect, but the capabilities of
Harley Davidson biker guys call themselves 1%ers. I think we should call ourselves the 3%ers.
Good idea. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Good night.
The number, folks, I'm sorry for giving you the wrong number earlier. It's 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
I finally got through to you. Getting harder and harder to reach.
I need you to put your phone directly in front of your mouth and talk a little louder, my friend.
Yeah, how's this?
That's a little better.
I was calling to talk upon the same subject, and concerns a news report I saw this week. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but supposedly this woman came out with this film she had taken of the Kennedy assassination.
We've been in contact with her since that happened. We were going to attempt to get the film and make it available to the American public. However, the same old people that got the Zapruder film have got their mitts in it.
Oh, great.
And they've offered them $200,000, which we can in no way compete with. And so they're gonna sell out. And so the people will never get a chance to ever touch that film. You might see whatever few seconds they want you to see in some Steven Spielberg movie or whatever. But you're not ever going to get a chance to get your hands on it unless we can find somebody that's needs some money and do like we did before.
Well, the commentary indicated that it might have some evidence to for the conspiracy aspect.
Nobody knows what it has.
And they just dropped the story, and I never heard about it again.
That's because they're considering these bids from all of these people who have all this money who are going to take that film and hide it from the American people.
Do you have any idea what that film actually showed?
Nobody knows what that film shows.
Yeah.
Nobody's seen the whole film but her, ever.
It's par for the course, I guess, right?
Yep.
I'd like to move on to another subject. I know you have talked in the past about the Soviet Union and its breakup and how it was contrived from the top down.
Absolutely.
I believe that also. I'm sure you have proof, but you have never actually gone into, you know, how it was done. And in the past, I have written some letters trying to offer you some evidence. I haven't had any responses.
We get thousands of letters. It's impossible for me to respond.
All right, then let me ask.
I don't have a staff like other people. I don't have a whole bunch of people like the guy that sits on half his brain.
Okay.
I don't have a big organization like Chuck Socialist and all these other people.
All right, well, that's why I'm calling you. Let's take this opportunity to see if we can get to the bottom of this. Have you ever heard of the book called New Lies for Old?
Yes.
Okay. To me, that seems to offer absolute and definitive proof that there was a conspiracy, at the very least, from the Soviet Union, and with the collusion of the U.S. government and press, because we must have known of this book and its contents.
Absolutely. The whole Cold War was planned by Stalin and Roosevelt and Churchill at Yalta.
Well, I hope that one evening you could, do a program on this and possibly read some of the quotes, which are just amazing that this guy detailed, you know, in such clarity.
Well, maybe some night I will.
I would appreciate that if you could. I know you're very busy.
You don't know the half of it, my friend.
It's very important because this is like proof that nobody can deny. And I think it would be very important to getting the point across.
Well, don't ever say that nobody can deny. Everybody denies everything all the time. They don't care about proof.
I understand that, but anything can be denied, this is it.
Yeah.
It's as close as it can be.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks.
Good night.
Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows that the fight was fixed. The poor people were respected. That's how it goes.
Folks, I know that there's a lot of you out there sitting around wondering what in the world is really going on and who you can trust and who you can believe and what you should do and when you should do it and when everything's going to happen. And my advice is don't sit around and wonder. Prepare for the worst, and then you'll be able to handle whatever happens whenever it happens. And if nothing happens, you are the responsible person. And everybody else was rolling the dice with their fingers crossed. And I'm telling you right now, the dice is loaded. It's going to happen. And when it does, there's a lot of things you better have. Now, we've been preparing on this end to make available to you certain things that you need. For instance, in this issue of Veritas, you'll see a full-page ad for food storage items. And for IS and CAGI members, you can take a full 25% discount off of the prices listed, which in some cases, ladies and gentlemen, is $700. Nobody else gives you discounts like that, but it's only for CAGI and IS members. If you're not a CAGI or an IS member, forget it. And let me tell you something. Get those discounts. I don't play that game. Nope. It's to reward the people who do the work, who support our efforts, who work for the cause. Not the bargain hunters and the bullshit artists. We're not interested in you. And for Veritas subscribers, if you have a subscription, you can take 15% off. And no, you cannot buy food storage for your neighbors. In fact, if you try, we'll cancel your subscription. That's what we'll do. And if you're an IS or CAGI member and you try, we'll cancel your membership. It's about time that you people learned that the guy that comes to you and says, hey, would you do me a favor? I know you got a membership. Buy me this and take the discount. Give me the discount. Is not your friend. And he's not my friend. And he's not a friend of the United States of America. He's not a friend of liberty. He's the socialist, lazy couch potato who never contributes and is always looking for a way to save a buck, to get over on you, to get over on me, to get over on his country. Stay out of the fight. Don't risk anything. And I know you all know what I'm talking about. So when they come to you and ask you that, tell them to go fly a kite. Tell them to subscribe to Veritas and wait for the next time it's offered, and maybe they'll get a discount too. Tell them to join the intelligence service, get off their butt and do some work and help us in this cause, and maybe they'll get some of these good discounts too. See, I got no sympathy, period. I've been in this battle too long. I know who our friends are. I know who the lovers of liberty are. I know who the real patriots are. And I know who the bullshit artists are. And our sponsor, Swiss America Trading, has some very interesting offers and a good newsletter that you need to read. And we'll all be furnishing you these services whenever we can. Now, folks, they talk about patriots for profit and all this kind of stuff. You don't make profit getting people $700 off. You don't do that. We do it to reward those who are helping us. And yes, we make just enough money to keep us going. No real patriot gets rich. We barely pay our bills around here. And if any of you think I'm lying, you hop on an airplane, and you fly out here, and you come right up to me, and I'll open my financial records to you, and you can see the truth. We don't have anything. My wife goes almost berserk every month, wondering how she's going to pay the bills. Because I give everything to her. Should anything happen to me, hopefully she'll be all right.
And the only way she'll be all right is if this effort continues and you continue to support it. When whoever has the guts to do so steps into my shoes and keeps it going. And the condition of that is that they take care of my family. And they will live just like I've lived, barely making it from week to week and month to month. So take advantage of that full page ad and take advantage of our sponsor, Swiss America Trading. And call them, 1-800-289-2646. Tell them that you're a listener to the Hour of the Time. Tell them that you support our efforts. You subscribe to Veritas. You're a member of the intelligence service. Get your hands on some real money. Get your hands on some real, real food storage items that will last for many, many years. Store some water. Make sure you have what you need spiritually. Make sure that you really love your family and that they love you. And if there's a problem there, fix it. Take care of business. Make sure that you have weapons and ammunition. Make sure that you're a member of a militia. Make sure that you're ready for whatever happens. And when you read this issue of Veritas, you'll understand even more than you ever have how serious this is and how far along the garden path we've been led. So call 1-800-289-2646 and do it now, folks. Do it right now. You'll be glad that you did.
Everybody roll with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows that the fight was fixed. The fools and the rich get rich.
Good evening, you're on the air. Hello. Folks, if you're not going to hold on the line, don't call. Don't waste my time and don't waste the listener's time. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. Interesting thing happened. This is John from Houston. Earlier this week on Channel 11, the local CBS affiliate, they had a story about this Ebola virus, you remember, that mysteriously cropped up in Africa a while back. And guess where they were busily hurrying about to come up with a cure for this Ebola virus, and they're conducting massive experiments, Fort Detrick, Maryland.
Absolutely.
The same place they concocted the AIDS virus.
Yep.
Now, a couple of other things that have happened here the last couple of weeks in the Houston Chronicle, some interesting stories. One of them, back when Castro was in New York for the UN celebration. This was from the October 24th Chronicle. And referring to the earlier, the previous day, Monday, October 23rd, said on Monday, Cuban President Fidel Castro addressed the Council on Foreign Relations in New York.
Of course.
And then later in the next paragraph, Castro was also scheduled to meet with David Rockefeller and other U.S. business leaders.
Yeah, that was to make sure that he gets his padded Swiss account.
Oh, sure.
So that when he rolls over and joins the New World Order, he will have his mansion and his reward for his little bit in the play.
And in the October 27th Chronicle, Russian soldiers staged troop training in Kansas.
Yes.
Of course, now they're in Fort Riley, Kansas. They started out in...
No, they just left Fort Riley, Kansas today.
Yeah. And in the Chronicle yesterday of November 2nd, FBI seeks massive wiretap capabilities to where they'll be able to simultaneously monitor up to one out of every 100 phone lines in the country.
Well, that's their goal. Do you realize what that would take? they'll never reach that goal.
Well, they're
even if they could monitor all those phone calls, who are they going to get to sit down and listen to?
Well, that's it. But they'll probably have computers and stuff like that, maybe trying to pick up on keywords.
They still don't have time to sit down and listen to all of those phone calls.
Yeah, but it's awfully fishy, and there are a few people around who are, you might say, making a big stink out of this whole issue.
No, that's not fishy at all. Read 1984.
Oh, I have, years ago. And interesting book, and I think it's very, very close to coming to fruition now. But other than that, some good news on that. Remember on the story here in Houston where that lousy DEA agent shot that nightclub owner because he refused to pay the cover charge to the bachelor party?
Uh-huh.
Well, he was indicted today by a grand jury. The DEA agent was indicted, and the same grand jury has refused to indict either the nightclub owner or the other fellow who picked up his pistol and shot the DEA agent in self-defense to keep him from murdering the nightclub owner.
Good. Sock that sucker away where he belongs.
Well, hopefully. And now the DEA agent has been suspended from his job pending the outcome of the trial.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
520-333-4578 is the number, folks. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
You caught me off guard a bit. First, I'd like to thank you for your little expose of Bo Greitz there a few months ago.
You're welcome.
And I've been trying to get a hold of you ever since. I live in Utah. I can tell the people that every word you said about the culture that he grew up in is absolutely true. You know, and we're here behind the Zion Curtain. This is like being in occupied territory. And it is a real problem. It's one reason why the Patriot movement isn't really flourishing in Utah. It's because of the amount of pressure that's put on it. Now, I've got something else here for you. And I know this is true because I actually saw it unfolded before me while I was working there. But I'm wondering how we can get more proof. When I work for the Air Force, I'm aware of two Genie missiles that were taken off of the inventory and disappeared. Now, there's been other aircraft that have done this. They were in a museum. And, of course, we know the guys come in and all of a sudden flash a few badges, present some papers, and a plane is gone. Well, these two Genie missiles, and I'm sure you're probably aware, but for those who may not be aware out there, Genie missiles were in our inventory until the early to mid-60s when, by treaty, they were taken out of our inventory, and they're air-to-air atomics. Now, these missiles did not have the two primary components. One, the atomic, and two, the rocket motor. However, there were plenty of rocket motors in storage, and there were plenty of atomics to fit Genies because it was not a discontinued item. I mean, it wasn't an item that went out of the inventory because it got old. It went out of the inventory because of treaty.
Anybody who can get their hands on weapons-grade plutonium can make an atomic bomb. It is no secret how to do it. It's been in every library for many years.
Any small aircraft can launch a Genie. And I would submit to you that they've already got the warheads for this. This government,
Wait a minute. We're getting off into a lot of supposition and things.
Right.
What you had to say, you said somebody stole some Genie missiles. But let's not get into all this.
Well, I pretty well know who stole it. I know who took them off the inventory.
Well, then why didn't you turn them in?
Well, no. They are the authorities.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I would have turned them in anyway.
Huh?
I would have turned them in anyway.
To who?
To the press. I would have written letters to the press. I would have done whatever I could. Let's put it that way. That's the way I am.
Well, it, under the circumstances.
Maybe they would have turned their head. Maybe they would have slapped my hands. Maybe I would have got fired. I wouldn't care. I still would have done it.
Well, under the circumstances, they had total deniability. You know, in other words, once they were gone, how do you ever prove they were there? There were five missiles.
Well, let's move on. Thanks for calling.
Okay, well, like I said, appreciate the job you've done. I'd like to keep some more reports on on Bobo and his movement up there in Montana, because I think they're going to use that to discredit the Moors.
Oh, it doesn't do any good. I give the reports on all these people, and what I get is letters that sounds like, what's his name in Los Angeles? What was that guy's name? Rodney King? Why can't we all get along? And these are from, I don't know. I guess they're playing the popularity game. I'm not. I know who the enemy is. I know how the Hegelian dialectic works. I have heard Chuck Carter say on his broadcast that he believes in socialism. He has Ralph Nader on there all the time, who's a screaming socialist. I know who Bobo Gritz is. He's a part of Project Trojan Horse to flush out the patriot leadership and identify patriot groups who will fight in defense of the Constitution. I know that Tom Valentine is a highly degreed member of the mystery schools, and I know he tells you that he believes in Christ, and he does, but it's not the Christ that you believe in. And if you want proof of that, get 5-5-2000, Ice, the Ultimate Disaster by Richard K. Noon, and read Tom Valentine's own words. Get his own books and read them. So when he tells you he doesn't understand the mysteries or he doesn't know about the handshake and all that kind of crap, he's a liar. And if he was standing in front of me, I'd tell it to his face. And all you blithering idiots out there that want to play some population game, a popularity game, get off the battlefield. Go home. Go soak your head. Get in bed. Pull the covers over your head. You're not in any mental condition to be fighting this war. You don't understand. You're going to be the first victims. You're looking for somebody to like. You're looking for somebody to tell you what you want to hear. And you'll never, ever in your life get that from me. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Good.
My question is, do you happen to know if Colin Powell was born in Jamaica at all?
No, I don't. We had a source that fed us that information, and before I could stop it, some of my people put it on the internet, and then I managed to get it stopped until we can get some kind of verification. I don't know. I searched the marquee Who's Who. I searched the database on CompuServe. Somebody has very carefully neglected to put his birthplace in his bios, and many of his bios are disappearing.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's why I presented it as a question form, because as you probably very well know, Article 2...
Let's not get into that until we know where he was born.
Right, okay, I understand what you're saying.
I don't even want it mentioned until we know where he was born, because
yes.
I'll tell you what'll happen.
It'll be another little Eddie.
If you say it, somebody will pick it up and run with it, and if it's not true, it'll have patriots spinning around chasing their tails again. And I don't want that to happen.
No, I don't want that either.
Okay.
And
when we can confirm it, if it's true, then we'll release it.
Right. And you made a good remark last week or whatever. Try to study what the potential adversaries are doing. In other words, like I get some of the magazines.
Oh, your analysis is right on.
Yeah.
Right on the money.
You got to study what they're up to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a good night, Bill.
You too. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
520-333-4543 is the number. Your chance to make an impact upon the world. Say something brilliant, intelligent. Ask a penetrating question that might shine the light of truth upon the lie. Or you can just make a complete and total ass out of yourself. It's your choice. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
I just want to ask about, I saw this in USA Today a few months ago. It's a little small blurb.
I need you to talk louder.
Okay.
And a little faster.
A little faster. Navy crash. Searches found wreckage of FAA F-18 Hornet that crashed 50 miles northwest of Santa Fe, killing Rear Admiral James Prout, commander of the USS Carl Vinson Carrier Battle Group, and Commander Joseph Cleefish, head of the Strike Fighter Squadron 25, based at...
What's your point?
Does it mean anything? It seems rather odd.
I grew up in an Air Force family. Planes crash all the time. unless you have some evidence that the plane was sabotaged, no, planes crash.
Okay.
Planes crash, and sometimes general officers and the high-ranking key personnel are in those aircraft.
Okay, and can I mention this to you?
Sure.
The book called The Invisible Government, by the put up by the Jacob Schiff Foundation, and the author is William Bennett Monroe. It says lectures delivered at Cornell in 1926, which seems to give a pretty good mindset of those that want a one-world government.
Oh, this is an old plan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we've documented it. We've proven it. We've given out the documentation over the air. We've published the treason papers. We've done this. We've done that. Blah, 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 blah. And everybody out there still says it ain't true. Conspiracy theorists, wackos, lunatic, white-wing, fringe, racist, terrorist, militia bums.
And what do you think of Fletcher Prouty?
I think Fletcher Prouty was CIA, has always been CIA, and will always be CIA.
Okay.
He'll deny it.
Yeah.
But he has to deny it. Same with McIlvaney. McIlvaney used to admit it in his newsletters.
Really?
At one of the expos where we were both speaking, he came up to me and threatened me, told me not to ever tell anybody that again.
Wow.
And I told him, don't threaten me, bud. Go get your lawyers, go get your gun, go get whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But you better, you know, you better do it good, because I'm not going to shut my mouth. And besides that, I've got your old newsletters where you said it in your own words. You used to be proud of it. Why are you hiding it now? Well, he slunk off from my booth with his tail between his legs because I pinned him. He was threatening to sue me. I said, go ahead. I've got it. In your newsletter. You wrote it yourself.
And how there are a lot of Christians.
See, McIlvaney's trying to tell everybody that, oh, it's nobody in this country. It's nobody in this government. It's the communists in Russia that are doing all this. And that's bullshit. The enemy is right here in this country.
Yeah.
We're being destroyed from within.
Is it anywhere in writing that Khrushchev said that?
Said what?
About that they wouldn't, the Soviet Union wouldn't have to.
Oh, it's not only in writing, it's on videotape.
Sure.
Yeah, it's in writing.
Okay.
Yeah, he said it. It was on television. Everybody saw it. It's recorded. There's no mystery to that.
Okay.
So we won't have to invade you. We will destroy you from within.
Okay.
See, Joseph McCarthy was right, 100% right. That's why they destroyed him.
Oh, I know. I was going to tell you, I found...
That's why they bandy that word about today, McCarthyism. If you dare insinuate that there are infiltrators within our government who are trying to destroy our country and bring about a socialist world order, they'll call you a McCarthyite. McCarthyism.
And I found a copy of...
They will not address the facts. They will not prove you wrong. They won't even talk about it.
Right.
They just call you names.
I found a copy of the J. Edgar Hoover book, Masters of Deceit.
Yeah.
Out of print.
Sure.
That's pretty interesting reading, too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people found it. I think maybe they killed Forrestal for that. I don't think it had anything to do with aliens.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I mean, I think it did have something to do with aliens, but not the aliens from outer space, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
520-333-4543 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening, Bill. Calling from New Jersey. You hit the nail on the head before about something you said about people from inside ruining this country.
Yes.
I don't think you have to look any farther than next door in some cases.
That's true.
And
I'll tell you what, we could all, every one of us, go look in the mirror and see the enemy staring right back at us.
Darn right.
The major problem with this country is us, the American people.
We let it get the way it is.
That's right. And not only did we let it get the way it is, we don't want to examine why it's this way. Nobody wants to confront the truth. Nobody wants to admit what's really wrong. And nobody wants to do anything about it except a very small minority, just like it has always been throughout history.
It's painful to look at the truth, very painful. But once you have found it, you wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah. Well, it may be painful to look at it, but not half as painful as it is to deal with the consequences of not looking at it.
Exactly. And one point I wanted to make, you know, people are calling in, and not to belittle anyone, talking about the Kennedy assassination, things of this nature. And sort of, I hear on a lot of these call-in shows, I don't listen to too many, I listen to you and a few others primarily, but people seem to get so easily distracted. We better get serious. It is very, very serious. And if we don't start getting serious soon, well, I think you're going to see the separation of the wheat from the chaff pretty soon. Things are, well, I just don't think that there's enough people out there. There's a lot of people that talk very big. But
yeah.
I think they better get ready to realize that they may have to lose everything in what's coming.
Yeah, you find out who's serious and who's for real when it comes down to real issues, and you know, you do separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you do. I mean, that Oklahoma City bombing had nothing to do with the militia, but I'll tell you what, it really swelled the ranks of the militia by people coming in who didn't even know there was a militia, and we got rid of the little panty waist chicken hearts who talk big and couldn't stay around through the propaganda war.
Exactly. I wish someone in New Jersey would pick the ball up and run with it. I've tried, and as far as militia goes,
there are people in New Jersey.
Yeah, I've run into a lot of gun nuts.
No, there are real people in New Jersey. There are real patriots. There are real militia. There are real intelligence service members, but I can't tell you who they are. You're not one of us, and you're not under oath that I know of.
Of course not, and I appreciate that. Well, hopefully I'll run into some people. Thank you very much, Bill, for everything you do.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's it for tonight, folks. Good night, and God bless you all. Let me just demonstrate how easy it is to be fooled, folks. I'll give anybody, $10,000 who can furnish me with absolute, irrefutable proof that Bobo Gritz is not a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite.
To the end of love.